your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Tom's Watch Bar. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
Live back at Tom's Watch Bar, start of hour number two out here. Watching some March Madness. Make sure you come by and not only check that out, but if you're coming to the Rockets game tonight, taking on the Heat at Toyota Center, this place is within walking distance from Toyota Center. You can park free at Green Street, walk over to Tom's. It's just two blocks away from that free parking, and then walk over to the Rockets game. Oh, in the meantime, you can watch lots of great March Madness action, even though Michigan not making the end of this game against St. Louis all that competitive right now.
It's, man,
unfortunately, this is the end of the road for Milk Chamberlain.
Yeah. Good for my bracket, bad for entertainment for the next 6 minutes of game time.
Yeah. The final 6 minutes, not all that competitive.
Do you think Milk Chamberlain is going to go to the NBA?
I think he should learn a foreign language.
Yeah. I think it's
okay.
I think it's more likely he's playing in like the Adriatic League or something like
that. The Adriatic League. Wow,
it's like Croatia.
Shout out to the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
lots of good food and drink. Sean, pick up your two hander there on the camera. Look at that.
There you go.
Look at that 40-ounce bad boy. That's what Sean's drinking. I've got a whiskey and lemonade. Cam, you haven't got anything alcoholic yet.
He's going to the gym after this.
Oh, he's going. Oh, you're working the Aggies gym tonight too.
Yeah,
so.
And then the Aggies.
You got to keep a clear
honestly,
head.
Honestly, spring break. My two spring breaks took the life out of my liver.
Oh, okay,
so
I forgot that you also get spring break.
Why'd you get two spring breaks?
Because school job. Our spring break was 2 weeks ago, and then the school that I go to, our spring break was last week.
Okay. You've been partying.
He double stacked them.
I splurged a little too much.
Real quick.
You're trying out right now.
What do you think of Houston as a spring break destination?
Apparently we're top five.
We were two.
Two?
Yeah, 2.2 million people came down.
That feels unbelievable. That's like, according to the projections I've seen, that means more people came here for spring break than are projected to come here for the World Cup.
Wow. Like a million people came?
More people came here than I think. Like, that's not like in one of the days that I was going out, I was one of my Lyft drivers was talking to me because I was asking him, like, how busy have you been? He was like, dude, I've never made so much money in Houston before. He was like, but
when did this start? Like, I never knew.
This year has been, like, big. Raheel was talking about where it's been, like, a concerted effort. For, like,
really?
A couple years to, like,
and we're talking about Houston proper, not Galveston, right?
Yes. No. Houston, like, Harris County.
Oh, that's so weird. Like,
People said it's basically like the new Miami Atlanta because people are figuring out that there's actually things to do here and it's way cheaper.
I love my city. I just never thought about us as a spring break city.
And the funny thing is we get so much
right?
hate. So many people hate on us.
I think that's what it is. Brian and I are thinking, like, beaches, so we're thinking, like, you know, if you're going to go, even like in Texas, you're thinking South Padre, you're thinking Corpus before you're thinking anywhere like Houston or Galveston.
I grew up in an era where, you know,
tell us about how you grew up, Ryan.
I grew up in an era where spring
break. No smartphones, I know.
Can I finish? Yes. Can I finish here? John, I am being assaulted. I need someone to come to my defense. I'm being unfairly persecuted, and I'm not even going to make an old man take. What I was going to say is I grew up remembering watching, like, MTV. Like, spring break on MTV was a huge thing, right?
Oh, my God.
And they played music videos,
Where were they every single time? They're on a bleeping beach every single time. And I just, in my head, I can't get around. I was like, well, we have Galveston. No one's going to want to put their TV set and crew out on Galveston, right? So I just, Jeremy, like, brought it up on the show. I think it was on Monday. That, you know, this trend was happening with us in Houston in spring break, and it caught me so off guard. It was so hard for me to comprehend.
It was chaotic. I mean, like, living in Midtown.
Over 2 million people came
2.2
here?
2.2 million people.
That's insane.
But, like, living in Midtown sometimes is, like, busy, but it got to the point where, like, I would be walking around, and there would be lines wrapped outside and around the block to get into, like, the most basic bar. But it's just, like, when you're coming into town, you don't.
That's crazy.
You just go to certain spots, but. And now the rodeo with the dress code.
I think that also is probably something that plays a part where people want to come for the rodeo.
Oh.
So like spring break, rodeo, all kind of converge together. We can talk about the Rockets again now.
Yeah. So Albie Shingun. Is he the Galveston of? Is he the Galveston spring
of
break of NBA All Star? Is that a good transition? I don't know if that's a good transition.
I would like for you to expound on that.
No, I don't think I should. I don't want Turkey to be all up in my missions. I don't need that in my life. But Şengün was one rebound shy of a triple-double last night. But it feels like, and maybe it's just because I'm looking for it because he frustrates me, but it feels like there's always the yeah, but with Alpi. And sometimes it's him complaining at the referees. Sometimes that he decides to take three-pointers and brick all of them. Last night, and this has been a trend in the games he's played in March. Obviously, he's missed a few with the back injury. But six turnovers last night. So, cool, 10 assists, but six turnovers.
Yeah, he was a rebound and four turnovers away from a quadruple.
Yeah, pretty much. He's played eight games in March. He's averaging 4.6 turnovers per game, and five out of those eight games in March, he's had five or more turnovers. They can get away with it, obviously, against the Hawks, and to a degree, they got away with it against the Pelicans. But obviously, you're going to see it against the come up bigger in the games with the Heat are over 500. They're not a bad team. Obviously, you're going to see it in the playoffs. What is your worry level, Sean, with, I guess, turnovers as a whole? Because it's not just Şengün that struggles with it.
Isn't it Kevin Durant's worst month when it comes to turnovers?
He had zero turnovers last night, though. So I guess that's why I'm focusing on Alpi. The Hawks did try to double team him a little bit, but he was able to pass out of it, get the ball to Alpi, get the ball to others. But I guess turnovers in general and the play from Alpi. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's something where the specific way you asked it, I'm not worried about it because I've just come to accept it. You know, it's
okay.
It is just
so if I rephrase it, how limiting is it?
Very limiting.
Okay,
Brian.
There we go.
Very limiting. It makes it. You know, part of what I was saying last segment where, you know, against any team with a pulse, I don't feel like they can blow them out or really separate from them. It's because you're starting every game with 15 turnovers, you know. So
Feels like, not
to mention how many of those are live ball. I mean, Kevin Durant's one of the worst at, the live ball turnover where it's dude, you might as well just throw it at their basket.
Turn around and shoot.
It is just immediately points for the other team. So, yeah, that's something where whatever you think the ceiling is for this team, I kind of think that's maybe win a first-round matchup. It's gut out a first-round matchup against, you know, a Denver who's kind of been hot and cold this season, a Minnesota who, you know, the second half really hasn't put it all together for a extended amount of time. It's if you catch one of them, you can maybe beat them, but against one of these teams that's really firing on all cylinders or the Thunder or the Spurs who really have separated themselves from the rest of the West, that's just not going to work against those guys. So, to me, turnovers as a team-wide effort is the original sin for this team, how the offensive line is for the Texans the last couple of years.
So the way it's trending, Cam, because from what we talked about last conversation or last segment, it feels like we kind of agreed that because of the injury to Anthony Edwards, they'll probably be able to stay in that 4-5 window. Which means they're going to play the Lakers or the Nuggets. So that being the case, Cam, what do you feel like this Rockets team's ceiling is with a likely 4-5 matchup against either the Nuggets or the Lakers?
I'm sorry, but I think it's a first-round exit.
I mean, against either team?
Especially with the Lakers playing how they're playing now, and Luka is probably going to win the MVP. And then obviously Denver's Denver. I mean,
and they crushed the Rockets, 2 weeks ago?
I can't see them getting out of the first round. Especially if it's against the Lakers in Denver, I just don't see it.
That's kind of where I am at, Sean. There are a few teams in the West. If you somehow got the Suns or you somehow got the Timberwolves, but the way it's trending, it feels like that's pretty unlikely at this point. So I'm with Cam. It looks like Lakers and Nuggets, and I would pick them to lose in six to either.
Yeah, you kind of had to hope for some sort of Nuggets swoon and the T-Wolves to keep their head above water so you get Minnesota in the 4-5. And it's that way you can squint your eyes and see it. But, yeah, all these series, if you think that they can win, you probably don't think they're favored to win. You know,
That's fair. It's a
lot of 60-40 matchups. Yeah. Or I guess the Doctor Strange seeing all the simulations, I'm seeing a lot of it's kind of a coin flip, a little bit worse for the Rockets. And these were, it wouldn't be shocking to me if they win 4 out of 7 against any one of these teams, especially in a playoff series. You can kind of piece it together where it's you just get the awesome Kevin Durant game, you get an awesome either Shingun or Shepherd game. Like, you could like, okay, I can kind of see how you get to four wins, but I mean, again, nothing they've done since the middle of January has led you to believe that they can, like, separate themselves against a good team in any way, in a game or in a series at all.
So, in the few minutes we have left here in this segment, I'm curious what you'll think of this take, because obviously the offensive struggles highlighted by those back-to-back games against the Lakers are well documented. There's been a lot of questions. I heard you and Joe talk about this on Rocket Power, which you can hear Fridays at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5.
It's also on YouTube.
Also on YouTube. Yeah, that releases.
If you want to hear Friday's show, it's on YouTube.
It releases earlier on YouTube, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Friday at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. I don't think Dale likes it releasing during his show.
Friday at 12:01.
There we go. Yeah. Sorry, Rich Eisen. But I heard you and Joe talking about kind of the blame game of who the of where the offense.
I was listening to that too.
We did blame power rankings.
So I think there's a lot of blame to go around. But one, it's not. Look, I'm not saying this is going to fix everything and turn them into a team that can, you know, make a run to the Western Conference Finals. But one thing I'd like to see that I think's been trending well, that maybe I'd like to see the Rockets just find a way to feature more, is Jabari Smith's offensive game. Like, he's had a nice little run. Like, we've known he obviously can play defense, he can hit the three.
Yeah.
But I've been impressed recently with his ability, not that he's ever going to take guys off the dribble from the top of the key or anything, but I've been impressed with his ability to, you know, come off some sort of action or be able to just kind of pull up and hit that 15 to 10-foot, you know, jump shot. Like, the last three games, 7 of 14, 7 of 15, 9 of 17. And really been impressive with his mid-range game. I think if the Rockets can find a way to feature Jabari more in that sort of distance, I think that could unlock a little bit more, maybe not more explosive offense, but a more efficient offense.
Yeah, it is a, like, it's like a team that can run the ball for 4 yards.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like that. That's kind of what they need, is like a, hey, this is a good look. this is what they need, because so much of what they have is either so hard to get to, or it's just not a good look, but it's Kevin Durant making a shot over someone, which is something he's done for 20 years. So I agree with you that there's probably is a little bit more, you know, under the surface there.
A little more juice.
Yeah, you can squeeze a little bit more out of Jabari Smith, but that goes back to what we talked about in on Rock Power at the Blame Olympics of like... like
I like that name. I like that.
Olympics.
That's good.
How do we like... divvy up, like, it seems like, at least for me, because this is, spoiler alert, I had Ime Udoka on the gold medal stand for, like, blame for this year's team. I had injuries number two of, like, just, this is not what the plan was.
Right.
I think that there needs to be some sort of focus on offense of, like, movement, player ball movement, and, like, creativity with, how do we activate Reed Shepard? How do we activate the best looks for our best offensive players? Not just hunting mismatches with Alperen Şengün backing guys down from the three-point line and Kevin Durant bailing us out of a stagnant possession. It is like, how do you maximize what Reed Shepard, what Jabari Smith, and what Amin Thompson can do? Because you look at the team that they started last night, the five that they started, it's like there is a decent NBA offense.
Oh yeah,
at minimum,
it's there.
In there, it's just how do you get that out? Like, you just need more, I guess, like more outside the box coaching.
So you're saying
Ime
is kind of the equivalent of the Texans' offensive coordinators under the DeMeco Ryans era?
I mean, I don't want to put that on him, but yeah, it's,
offensively,
he's more
offensively.
He's more of like a and DeMeco isn't guilty of this, but think of like the more classic version of defensive coordinator becomes head coach.
It just wants to run the ball 40 times.
Yeah, he's like a little Will Muschamp-y.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
He's like a
all
little
right.
bit of Will Muschamp in the NBA, where it's like he kind of just is like.
How's he feel about dry erase boards?
I don't think he likes them.
Okay.
I would be shocked if he hasn't smacked a dry erase board while saying, just do your job.
Ime?
Ime,
I was
going
to say, I don't think I've ever seen him in a timeout.
No, there's a video of Will Muschamp just smacking the crap out of a dry erase board.
Right in front of Emmanuel Acho, too.
Yeah, yeah.
A little cameo.
Cameo there.
Yeah, but I think, to me, that's like, I just would be interested in what this Rockets team looks like with a, like, offensive-minded head coach as opposed to a defensive-minded head coach.
Same. Yeah, I think the frustration, and it was certainly magnified times a thousand because of that, especially the first Lakers game with all the double teams that Kevin Durant. I mean, hell, the dude had an 8-second violation and dribbled into a backcourt violation.
Man. No pressure, too.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So I think it's definitely highlighted by that. But I just was taken aback by how many times the Rockets would get the ball when they did get past half court and didn't go backcourt, when they would start the possession with 10 seconds of Durant just standing there. Or, if Durant was out, of 10 seconds of Reed standing there. And no one's moving. So, I at least, you know, give me some movement, and then maybe that does lead to the Jabari stuff I was talking about.
Yes, and that's how you act. You know, that's how you activate Jabari Smith in, like, a duck-in post-up against a smaller guy. Or, something where he can rise and fire, take one dribble and score. Same thing with the Amen Thompson, activating him as a cutter, especially with a post-passer like Şengün. It's like, that's something there. Like, that, there's been a lot of NBA offenses that are built off of a big man that can pass and a wing that can cut and then rise and finish. Like,
so what you're saying
there's
is
something
we need to
there.
Bring back Mike D'Antoni?
Maybe not Mike D'Antoni, but at least, you know, somebody.
An offensive coordinator?
Yeah, offensive guru.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Is he interested? Can we hire Mike D'Antoni as an offensive coordinator?
They do need an offensive coordinator.
They do. All right. We got to get out for this segment. Michigan has gone final. They advance over St. Louis Billikens. So no more Milk Chamberlain or lines for this March, unfortunately. But March Madness rolls on. And there's 60-plus TVs here at Tom's Watch Bar for you to catch all the action. When we get back, we got to talk about the Astros, because regular season starts next week, fellas. Hunter Brown will be on the mound against the Angels in the not-so-distant future. So let's talk about the Astros when we get back here in the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Tom's Watch Bar. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
All right, welcome back into the Bullpen. Just a couple segments left in the show today. We're out here live at Tom's Watch Bar until 2 o'clock. So perfect place if you're coming out to watch the Rockets take on the Heat tonight at the Toyota Center. Stop by before the game. You can park for free at Green Street. Just a 2-block walk over here to Tom's Watch Bar, where you can watch all your March Madness on their more than 60 TVs. Not a bad view in the house. And then walk over, because it's walking distance, Toyota Center, to the Rockets game. So Astros, start of the regular season, less than a week away, fellas. It won't be long before Hunter Brown's pitching against the Angels to start off the season. He's looked good. I think that's, like, obviously, like, there's no reason to even mention, like, Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, what does he look like in spring?
Check. Moving on to, well, Team USA could use them in the final.
Sure,
I could say that against Venezuela.
Nolan McLean.
Yeah, that was, although they only gave up 3 runs, so I was like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's actually more of the offense.
Yeah, they didn't lose because
that
of the pitching.
But and even against Dominican, it was, what, 2-1?
2-1, 2-1. They didn't lose because of the pitching. That bullpen in particular was really good. But,
did Hunter Brown get pulled from a spring training start? I saw some.
Jordan and Altuve got pulled in the game a few days ago because apparently the field conditions were bad. And then Hunter pitched yesterday, but I didn't see any news about him getting
pulled. I thought
he
got pulled short or something.
No, actually this, you're jogging my memory now, because I was reading through Ryan McTaggart's timeline. He thought Hunter Brown was going to be done. I guess it would have been after 4, maybe it was 5. But then Spada sent him out for another inning. So I certainly don't think anything
wrong with
him.
Maybe that's what it was, where he got pulled but didn't. Or, like, it was like, something like that.
So I guess the most noteworthy news off the top, as it involves the pitching, is that Joe Spada did announce that it'll be a 5-man rotation to start the season.
Oh.
We would obviously Hunter Brown's at the top. You would assume Burroughs and Emi are after that.
Yep.
And then I think you're pretty obviously your 4-5 would have to be Lance McCullers and Christian Javier, and some probably Lance McCullers last. But that does mean, it seems like, a delay in the season for Spencer Arrigetti, which is expected because he was a little behind in spring and did leave at one point for think he had twins, but it was the birth of his children.
And twins.
Got a simulated game in, but he won't be ready to start the season. I guess your overall confidence after Hunter Brown in the because there's no point.
Yeah,
there's no point. We can't even. It's not even worth it. He's elite. He's going to be top three in Cy Young again.
Yeah, in the starting rotation.
I'm feeling pretty optimistic about Burrows, man. His numbers are good.
Burrows really hasn't given you a reason to not believe. Never mind.
12 innings pitched this spring, no earned runs.
Yeah, and
I'll take.
Also building in like the Astros pixie dust that they sprinkle on starting pitchers.
Everybody, Kikuchi.
Wade Miley. Another guy they got from the Pirates, Garrett Cole.
Charlie Morton.
Yeah, like Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a Pirate?
He was a Pirate also, yeah.
Yeah, so like there is a little bit of like, A, what the hell are the Pirates doing? B,
Pirates are a minor league organization, yeah.
How good would Skeens be on the Astros? C, I'm believing that.
Trade everybody.
I'm believing that Burrows can be a number two starter. Like, I'm not going to actually put Garrett Cole expectations on him. Like,
smart.
It just adds to the, like, resume of why I believe he can be a really good starting pitcher in MLB. Emi is the one where I cannot wait for Emi's first start. And really, like, his first start, and then whatever happens, I'll be like, we'll do it again. Or get him next time.
So I'm interested to see how he starts
his first like five starts. I can't wait for Emi.
I think he's only thrown eight innings this spring. Like it's been six innings. Yeah, very limited work so far.
And there's a lot of belief that the Astros, because they start with a loaded schedule, or
well, not the first
not loaded.
Angels is a soft
touch. I meant loaded as like they play like 25 games
in
26 days or
front loaded.
Yeah, they just. They don't have any off days to start the season.
Yeah, I think they have, like, one Thursday off in the first month.
And I thought that mixed with Emi would be why they go to six-man, because in MVP, they do six-man rotations. Or they get 5 days rest before they start every game. So the compressed, MLB schedule for Emi, I was wondering if they would make it a little bit easier on him. Especially because that's how you start the season. He doesn't get to, like, ramp into it. That's why the five-man rotation is a little bit surprising for me coming out of camp.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just a technicality because of where Arrighetti's at. Like, if Arrighetti was completely ramped up,
but then
maybe they just go six-man for the bat. I don't know.
And I don't have the spring stats in front of me. And spring stats.
They are overrated.
Yeah, but, like... If Arrighetti's not ready, what's the difference between him and Blue Ball, really?
Blue Ball, I believe, and I'll pull it up here. I have it in just a second. I don't believe he's had a good spring.
Okay. Maybe I just answered my question, or that answered my question.
AJ,
there.
Yeah, Blue Ball. I take that back. Blue Ball's thrown, let's see here, 8 2/3, and his ERA is 104. I must have been
good.
Confusing him with someone else.
Yeah, no. I to me, like, I don't know, then... If Arrighetti's behind or whatever,
why can't it be Blue Ball for four innings?
Not that big of a difference for the first month of the season.
France had a good.
Well, France was already informed by the team that he wasn't going to make the team.
Maybe it's like a five-man starting rotation, and then every now and then there's going to be a random like spot start.
Yeah, that could be it. I'm just interested in how that plays out because the starting rotation to me, I mean. It's not the thing I have the most questions about. That's the outfield. It's what I have the most questions about that I think could possibly have a good answer.
Yeah, like
I'm most hopeful but uncertain about.
Between Burrows and Emi, and then we know it's in there for Javier because he's done it before.
Yeah, like Javier is another guy.
There's
I can't
enough,
wait to watch.
And he's had a good spring, Javier. Even though like it's more
Hilo.
Like the numbers look great, but the under the hood doesn't look great with Javier. Yeah. But there's enough there with track record or recent success. Like, it could turn out to be a positive answer. I think, though, my concern with the six-man rotation, and I get why they would do it. It's what you mentioned, Sean, that, like, that heavy schedule. But because of Hader not being available, like, I'm curious, like, if you can afford to take away a bullpen arm from your 13 pitchers on the roster.
That's a good point.
Because your bullpen... You know what I mean? Like, if you're taking away a bullpen arm when you're already down, actually down three guys, because Hader's going to start the season IL.
Sosa's
going to start the season IL. And De Los Santos only pitched in his first game yesterday. Yeah. So
two of those are lefties, too.
Right. So he's not going to be ready to start the season, I would assume, also having only pitched in one game so far. So I would worry about taking away –
Too many bullpen arms.
A bullpen arm for a sixth pitcher while the
– That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The other part of that is if they do go to a six-man rotation, I hope they go to a hybrid because there's no way I'm giving whoever – six guys aren't going to make all their starts all season long. But in a hypothetical world where, you know, that's the case, or even just the sixth spot in the rotation, regardless of who it is, there's no world where I want Hunter Brown to get the same amount of starts as random sixth person in the rotation.
That's a good point.
When he gets up to his fifth day, we're skipping, right? Yeah. Sorry, sixth guy. You'll come back around the next time.
Yeah, yeah. No, and maybe
that's got to be something that Joe Spada pays attention to.
Maybe you could stagger it to where, like, you get Emi the extra day, but not Brown.
Right.
You know, but yeah, that we're getting really in the weeds with starting.
Maybe so.
Yeah,
maybe so.
I'll say that for 3-6. But the and inside the icebox, which
is,
we'll be making a triumphant return.
Is it
at some point?
You TBD. Have the inside information.
Yeah,
on that.
TBD.
Okay.
But
all right.
But expect it at some point.
What the name is my most interesting part of that.
I mean,
considering all the drama going
hotly,
on.
Hotly contested.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the starting rotation to me is like why I'm going to be very invested in the first month of the season. Because with the infield glut that they have, too many infielders.
Maybe
to possibly
it works itself out because Christian Walker can't hit a lick.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
God.
Maybe you need someone to.
Have you seen his spring stats? They're in the Google Doc.
Unfortunately,
I have.
He's like, what
stats?
Is it 097?
He's hitting 094.
Yeah, 094, yeah.
He has 3 hits to 9 strikeouts this spring.
Yeah, that to me is why the infield glut that
I think it works itself
Rosenthal
out.
And Rome have been, reporting, but some of it's a little
fear-mongering.
Bit editorializing,
yes.
I'll call it, not fear-mongering.
Tomato, tomato.
I don't want Chandler mad at me, all right?
He already blocked Branham.
I don't want to be next. The infield glut is like, infield's going to be good as long as they're healthy. Like
right.
You could. The problem is they have too many good infielders. Like that's not a problem.
And their outfielders are mid. Yeah, other than when Yordan goes out there.
The outfield, yeah. But I don't really see. I mean, Cam Smith will be interesting, but I don't have super high expectations for Cam in year two.
Yeah, I always have
Cam
zero.
Smith,
I have zero.
I have nothing
always
but high
have
expectations.
Zero expectations for Cam Smith.
That's the first time of the year that I didn't even realize I was doing it. But, yeah, I think that, you know, Cole, what's interesting
this
is
this show
that,
is heavily invested in Cam Smith being a good player.
Thank you, guys.
At least a third of the show. What's also been interesting to me in spring training, as much as spring training can be interesting to me, is that Bryce Matthews is getting some run in
kind
outfield.
Kind of Dubonish.
Yeah.
He's playing some second, obviously. I think he's played some third.
You could talk me into
the outfield?
As Cole Matthews left field platoon.
When
Yordan's DHing. Like,
basically the road games.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I can kind of see that. I can get down with that. Like, that's at least something interesting to me, and we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen Bryce Matthews ever stand in left field before, so I'm assuming he can do it. I saw Jose Altuve do it pretty well.
Well, we see
last
how
season.
Easy it is for the Astros to play players at odd
yeah,
positions.
Yeah, right. He's not the first Astro second baseman to move to left field in the last 12 months.
Yeah,
At least he didn't have to go up Taos Hill like another second baseman who got moved out to center field.
True.
All right, we got to get out because on the other side of the break, it is a time, gentlemen. It's been a few weeks. We've been off for a few weeks. I think Cam was busy 1 week. We had a basketball game that kicked us off another week. But it's time for Mount Rushmore Plus One with the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5 live from Tom's Watch Bar.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston and Tom's Watch Bar, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome in to Mount Rushmore Plus One, the game-changing, award-winning segment that's forever, forever changed the landscape of sports radio in Houston, Texas, and worldwide. And we'll get Sean, myself, Cam Smith, John Belmer, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders, yeah. Josh Evans, AJ Russ, and others.
I think Lexi by proxy.
Lexi by proxy now also. Yeah. Into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years that took those bums, John and Lance. I can say that a little gusto because they're not here.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about kind of Lance hearing you.
Yeah, that's
down
been
the
a problem recently because Lance is like two doors down.
Yeah, he's
that's been a problem.
He's riding up.
I'm having to check the bed a little bit. Like,
I'll see him later.
Dial it down.
He's riding up some Central Arkansas safety.
I'll see him tonight.
Stop by and remind him that we're going to get into the Hall of Fame.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Before he scares you while he's walking down the hall. Man, quick aside, Lance works really hard.
Lance is a machine, dude.
12 hours a day, up until the NFL draft.
I remember one time I walked by and I was chatting with him, and he was on the phone, and he was like, yeah, I'm leaving in 10 minutes. And then an hour and a half later, he was still there.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, he basically does his show, gets food, and then is there until like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
An animal.
All right, time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Cam, would you like to lead us off, sir?
Tight. Okay, so after my last 2 weeks of debauchery and shenanigans, I chose to do my favorite hangover foods because I had a few of those moments.
Interesting.
Did you have all of these things you're about to say?
Actually, yes.
Wow. I was going to say five different things. I was
we're tracking at least five different hangovers.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes.
That was the main reason I asked that. I was thinking one week,
but I remembered he has 2 weeks of spring break. So
Yeah. Cam single-handedly made Houston the best spring break, break spot
he
in the world.
Impacted the economy.
Wow. Yeah. You're welcome, Houston.
What's the first one?
Menudo.
Okay.
I mean, it just... But I don't even have, like, that's all I'm telling Lexi. I can eat that even if I'm not hungover. It just,
it
smacks so much better when you
are. It is like a staple of,
there you go.
Of a cuisine. So, yes, you can eat it when you're not hungover.
Next, pho.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I feel like whenever Cam does a food list, pho shows up, like, on half of his food list.
If we could do a word cloud
pho is definitely the big one in the middle.
Well, I mean, 90% of the food I eat is Mexican and Vietnamese.
Okay, like, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Plus, like, two of my favorite places in Midtown are Mexican and Vietnamese, so it's just, like, bam, right there.
I have a little bit of, like, the, like, soup season with pho, where it's, like, pho past a certain degree point.
Oh,
I'm
heat?
Like, yeah, I'm like,
85
I'm like,
degrees, like.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't be
no,
eating pho.
I know a lot of people that are like, dude, it's 90 degrees, like,
it's,
I don't.
Or I guess it's more like chili.
Yeah,
it's like
chili for sure.
Chili in the summer is insane.
Yeah. But your alternative to pho could be vermicelli because it's almost the same thing, just minus the liquid. So, But number three, General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, good call.
Orange chicken, man.
I could get
that. Yeah, I might sub it.
Orange chicken is like great when you're
orange chicken.
Orange chicken
slaps.
Pozole rojo.
What's that?
Yeah.
It's red pozole. So there's like green.
What's pozole?
It's like a Mexican soup.
Okay.
It's similar to menudo, but a little different. It's probably a little more healthier, too. But, yeah. I had that one a couple days ago, actually. So, yeah.
You're rolling the spring break
also, over. Also, Cam has an elevated palate.
Yes.
Because when I think of hungover
Taco
food,
Bell.
Taco Bell. Immediately, Taco Bell.
The scouting report is out on me. Yes. That
cheesy gordita crunch.
Or like egg sandwich.
Yeah,
you know,
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's your... Wow. Hey, I mean, whatever does the trick.
Yeah, hey, listen. All right. I know. I'm a garbage can with teeth. Yeah, I get it.
I'm not, man. I mean, heck, the other day
discerning
I made a
tuna
sandwich.
anything that can fit in his mouth.
Yeah.
Tacos.
Tacos. Any particular type?
Cheesy gordita. Doritos Locos.
Absolutely. You know Taco Bell is coming out with the, oh my God.
Edible sauce packets?
No, it's the Crunch Wrap.
Yes, I saw that.
It's a Crunch Wrap, but it's a mini version now.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
They call it the Crunchwrap slider.
Chicken. With chicken, yeah. Right? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I wasn't on that email.
No, it's been popping up on March Madness, like,
oh,
nonstop.
Really?
Yeah, it actually looks pretty good.
I guess I
have not a Taco attention. Bell stand like the guy to my left, but it actually looks pretty good.
I mean, honestly, I could eat any taco. I mean, I can eat Nopales, which is cacti.
I don't like cactus.
Like, people don't like it.
I don't like cactus,
could, but
yeah.
No, I would say probably labels.
I've tried that before. I couldn't get down with that. For me, it'd be barbacoa.
It has to be done, like, super right. If it's slimy in the least
bit, the one I had was slimy. I'd be willing to try it one more time, like, if you had a place you recommended, but then I'm out. Like, if it's bad again, I'd be out. All right.
Beans in the palace.
My Mount Rushmore plus one actually comes from a conversation that Sean and Dell had on their show. I guess it's been about a week and a half since you had this conversation,
okay.
Sean. You were talking
about...
Let's see
if I remember it.
Oh, you'll remember it. I think it was a little bit off the rails. It was the conversation about Zion being told not to have food under his bed.
What?
Okay.
You generally... No,
not really.
No memory?
I remember the story. I remember the story.
Okay, you don't remember you and Dell talking.
I don't remember
about
the
it.
Conversation that we had.
I've had to hold on to this list now for a little bit because we had the last 2 weeks.
No,
off.
That's fine.
So
I have terrible memory. So that's fine.
I, as a 42-year-old man, do not keep food under my bed.
Good.
But if I did, this is the Mount Rushmore plus one of foods I might store under my bed.
God.
So I feel like we have to lay some ground rules here, right?
Emphasis on ground. Yes.
Well done, Sean. Well done. Like, this can't be something that has to be cold, right? It can't be something that's, like, dairy or something that's going to expire super quickly. So I feel like we have to have some things that are sustainable and that can last a little while.
Yes.
Okay. So that's where I went with this list. Mount Rushmore plus one. If I hid food under my bed, this is what I'd hide
under
my
bed.
If I did.
If I did it.
If I did it. If I did it. Number one bestseller coming this summer. Ruffles.
Ruffles?
Yeah, like some type of like rich chip. Yeah, like.
Original or sour cream and onion?
I'd probably lean sour cream and onion.
Smart man.
Yeah, I'd probably lean sour cream and onion. Although I feel like the breath that I would have would be way like more evidence of giving it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. The food that you're hiding under your bed might lead to bad breath.
I'm trying to get away with it, Sean.
Oh,
I don't want
my
evidence.
God. What would my wife think?
Well, she doesn't know.
That's fair. That's fair. We kind of are throwing what the wife thinks out of this conversation.
It's like,
I'm trying to get away with it. That's the whole point.
I could. The depravity of
no,
bad breath.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's getting away with it, Sean. The second one on the list, I've struggled which one from this category, because I tried to go like different categories for the most part. But I landed on, because I could have gone with macadamias, but I went with cashews. I wanted some sort of like salty nut. Pause. Sean's losing it.
John, clip that. Clip that.
Clip next level.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you're welcome. I did that intentionally.
Okay.
Cashew's the best choice.
Should I just move on to the next
Maybe
one?
Maybe pre-shelled pistachios, but keep going.
No, it gotta be shelled. Yeah.
De-shelled.
De-shelled. Okay. I thought I heard you say pre-shelled. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I meant pre-whatever.
No, I'm going to pull a bag from under the bed and have to do a bunch of shelling. Can you, like, unshelled peanuts? Can you imagine that? No, thank you.
Spinning on the ground like a baseball player?
Yeah, Ruffles and cashews on the list so far. You're welcome for that moment. I immediately regret it just because John's going to have it as a drop.
Legitimately made my day.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I cannot have a bad day now.
This one would require some, like, Tupperware or something, because you can't just, like, you know. It doesn't come in packaging, right?
Yeah, sure doesn't.
But churros.
Oh.
Yeah.
There is a problem with, like, the churro dust, right? You eat it, you got crumbs everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
crumbs in the bed I'm generally against.
Yeah, but, like you know, kind of lean over in the bed, pick up a churro, and then put it back in the bag, and, like.
That's a good one.
I just love churros,
That's
man.
A good one.
So I was trying to think of, like, a dessert outside of candy.
Okay.
And I was like, well, that's the easiest one where I could just take a bite, put it back.
Do you eat in bed?
No.
Okay. Do you eat in bed? Like,
I
ever?
Eat on my couch.
That's not what he asked.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine. Do you sleep on your couch?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Same. but yeah, I'm not a big, like, I hate eating in bed.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea of the, like, cinnamon crunch
right.
in my bed is, like, I cannot deal with that. But it's a good tasting food, at least.
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, I love ice cream, but I can't put ice cream under the bed, right?
Yeah, true.
So, like, I was trying to think of a dessert that I could, like, that would be, like, storable and be able to. I thought churros
I would go,
the best. Plus, churros is a great dessert.
Peppermint patty Girl Scout cookies.
Ooh. I didn't think about Girl Scout cookies, but that's a great call. I feel like I could do an entire list of just the Girl Scout cookies.
Man. Yeah, probably.
The Caramel Delights.
Yeah.
Another great peanut butter patties.
I'm out.
No?
I'm not a huge, like, if it's strictly, like, a peanut butter thing, I'm not huge. Like, I'll eat, like, one or two Nutter Butters, but, like, that's it.
Yeah, but the peanut butter has chocolate, too. It's more like a Reese's.
Oh, it does?
You might be thinking of something different.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the one
they have, like, a sandwich cookie that's peanut butter.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, no, this is, like, a peanut butter. Covered. Like, a crunchy, like, peanut butter covered thing.
Yeah, I can get down on that.
It's like a wafer aroma.
All right, so two left here. Mount Rushmore plus one of food I would hide under bed if I did, like Zion. And hopefully
allegedly.
Hopefully get paid like Zion, too. Reese's Pieces.
Yep.
I feel like that. It's
the cereal?
No. No, like the actual, like a bag of, like, you get at the movie theater, right? Which also goes great with popcorn. Just saying.
Throw them in the popcorn bucket?
I usually, like, divide it, because if I throw it in, then it just sinks to the bottom. So I'm usually like, you know.
Oh, you actually like mix it.
Yeah.
Like your personal bag of trail mix.
No, he doesn't. He mixes it in
his
mouth.
I'll get like,
Oh, no.
No.
No, God, no.
Clip.
Nobody saw that.
No, I'll take like two Reese's Pieces out, get like a little bit of popcorn, and then just, you know.
Okay.
Because if you dump the Reese's Pieces in, then it just like sinks to the bottom. You can't like distribute it. No, not really.
I like jalapenos and like Valentina. But I have to bring my own Valentina because they don't have that at the movie theaters.
What is Valentina? Is that like a...
It's like a hot sauce.
A hot sauce?
Yeah,
nah,
like
I'm out on that.
Like
I'm out on that. All right, one more.
I lost track.
One more. And it's kind of, honestly, like I'm trying to think of another one on the fly because they're kind of, it's kind of the same as the last one, but M&M's, if you have your favorite, you could sub in your own favorite. For me, I would go with either the M&M or the peanut or the peanut butter.
See, I guess, I do sometimes eat in bed, but it's like candy. It's not like, it's not something
that's going to get crumbs everywhere.
Crumb,
I don't do that either. I'm separate church and state.
Church and state?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good
Thank
for you.
You. Thank you. That's, right. That's why I said it, so people
All right, so now that we got past me breaking Sean for a couple minutes with my Mount Rushmore plus one.
Well, you broke Michael, too, because he heard.
Michael Carroll texted.
Michael Carroll texted?
Yep.
I guess I missed that. Oh, it was Michael Carroll. I'll pull it up in the break. Oh, God. Michael saw it, so now it's going to show up in imaging. I'm not looking forward to that. Hey, Michael's listening to us, though. Shout out to Michael
Carroll. Nice.
Host of Comicast. Nice, you can hear Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5. Sean. Main event Mapes. Go ahead as you take a drink. Sorry to catch you off guard.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead and main event this bad boy.
My Mount Rushmore is in honor of Dennis Rodman making the WWE Hall of Fame. It is athletes that could go into other sports Hall of Fames. So they're an athlete known for one sport that could make another sports Hall of Fame. So reason for the season, Dennis Rodman, NWO member, obviously.
Yes.
You know, honestly,
Russell Carl Malone,
long time coming, finally a Hall of Famer.
Finally gets the
in the WWE.
Yes.
When Shams tweeted it, I thought that Dennis Rodman had died.
Too sweet, brother.
I woke up and saw a Shams tweet that started with Chicago Bulls legend Dennis Rodman. I was like, oh my God, has made the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm like, all right, cool.
What a twist.
Next, Michael Jordan. Making the Minor League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
No, because he immortalized the Birmingham Barons forever in the movie Space Jam, movie
true.
That I have seen upwards of 50 times in my
really?
Life. Yes.
Okay.
It was like a VHS, DVD kind of classic.
All right, you're 28?
Yes, 29. Almost 30.
Oh, are you turning 30 next month?
In April 23rd.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We are going to have a funeral. We are going to have a funeral. Oh, welcome.
Welcome
to the club, brother.
Hell.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Michael Jordan for putting the Birmingham Barons in iconic movie
so
Space Jam.
You're nearly dead at 30 years old.
Sure am.
You've seen this movie 50 times?
At least.
Okay. How many of the 50 were pre-20?
Probably... Probably like 35.
Yeah, see, that's where I thought. Okay, it's still a healthy amount.
Well, because I have a brother that's 10 years younger.
Oh, okay. So you relived it all with
him.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so okay. It's double dipping a little bit there. Deion Sanders, obviously,
sure.
Playing in a World Series and in the MLB or
NFL.
In NFL at the same time.
Same day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Deion Sanders, obviously, legend of two sport athletes. Next, Brett Favre for volleyball. He built a great volleyball facility at Southern Miss University.
Uh-huh.
Don't ask how he got the funds.
Let's not.
I don't know if we're going with Hall of Fame of bilking people out of their money or Hall of Fame of sending inappropriate texts to Florida State students.
Brian, I don't know how you live your life, but to me, those are not sports.
Okay.
Volleyball is a sport, and he contributed a lot to volleyball. Specifically, the Southern Miss University.
And I'm not allowed to ask follow-up questions about how he got that money?
No follow-up questions
all
needed,
right, all
please.
All right, okay.
And next, last but certainly not least,
yes.
A man who had a defining moment of an NBA Finals, despite the fact that he's a football legend. In 1994, O.J. Simpson made his name known during the Rockets and Knicks 1994 Finals game.
Picture, ruined 10-year-old me.
Yes, but O.J. Simpson, who else had that kind of impact on the NBA Finals as an NFL player? He literally never played in the NBA, but he made his presence known.
But if he did.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Bo Jackson,
third
good
Hall
one.
Of Fame Tecmo Bowl video games.
Yeah, video game
yes,
Hall of
video
Fame.
Video games
sure.
Hall of Fame.
But yeah, O.J. Simpson, NBA Hall of Famer for what he
all
did
right.
in the 1994 Finals.
That was a very good Mount Rushmore.
Arguably played better than John Starks.
All right, you know what? We got 3 minutes left, so instead of going through our worst in love, let's just look at Rory's Masters dinner for the 3 minutes that we have
yes.
left.
This is the thing I love in sports.
Yeah, let's just talk about this until John tells us to shut up and go to break.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, Rory's Master Club dinner. We have appetizers. We have a peach and ricotta flatbread, which Dan Orlovsky had a wild take about. That just look for the audio on that. We don't have time to play it. You have rock shrimp tempura. You have grilled elk sliders and bacon wrapped dates as your appetizers. Your first course is a yellowfin tuna carpaccio. Main course choice of a wagyu filet mignon or seared salmon, and the dessert a sticky toffee pudding. I guess we got to go to Chef Cam first, Chef. What is your grade on this Masters dinner from Rory?
You know, at first when I looked at the appetizers, I was like, I'm not rocking with this. But then I saw that it was grilled elk sliders, which definitely had me intrigued. And then that Wagyu filet mignon. I'm going to have to say a B+.
B+, all right. Yeah. All right.
Give it a B+.
What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I think this is solid. I mean, I might even bump it up to an A. To be honest,
the dessert brings it down.
Who
to
did
me.
We do last year?
It was.
Oh, I don't even remember now.
Was it
Scotty? Yeah.
Oh, it was Scotty.
I gave him an A.
Yeah.
I don't think I can give this over that.
Scotty Scheffler is kind of a man of the people when
yes.
it comes to the Masters yes. dinner, where it's like it is very much things that like we would order at a restaurant.
This mostly isn't.
Yeah.
So a lot of it does sound good, but
yeah,
most
but
of
it's
not.
It's elevated. Yeah. This is very elevated, very European.
I think the dessert brings it down a grade for me. Like I can't get with the sticky toffee.
Yeah, I would like a little bit better from the dessert there. Sticky toffee pudding is like a little bit too like.
What would you replace it with? We got 1 minute.
I mean,
can we go to full Chaz McCormick and just say banana pudding?
Banana pudding would be great. Banana pudding would be great. I'm trying to think
churros
of
churros that you keep on your bed. There it is.
Churros are
yeah.
Churches.
I'm trying to think of like a pie that would be really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I think a churros or like a you know a little cup of banana pudding, especially for the older
Fire.
Masters winners.
Fire.
You know, like I don't. Do you think Jack Nicklaus could like really choke down something solid? No.
He
give
might
him
die trying to eat a bacon wrap. Day.
Yeah. Give
he
him some. Give him some pudding because he's 90 years old.
We end on age shaving from the man who's about to turn 30. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen.
I'm like still 60 years younger than him.
Allegedly. There's no way to know. There's no way to know. Shout out to John Granato. All right, that'll do it for us for today. Thank you to John Belmer in studio. Thank you to Lexi coming out here and taking lots of great pictures. Thank you to Sean and Cam for dealing with me for 2 hours and laughing at my salty nuts joke there. Come out to Tom's Watch Bar. Walking distance to Edison, where you can walk to and from the Rockets and the Heat at Toyota Center tonight. Great place, 60-plus TVs to watch March Madness and any other sports on the TV. Until next week, be good, Houston. Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.